Wednesday, June 17th, 9:25 a.m. Royal Genovian Academy. Madame Hélène's office. I just made a huge mistake. No, not huge. Humongous. But it's my own fault, I guess. I have no one to blame but myself. It started when I walked into class this morning and saw that there was a folded-up note sitting on my desk. I knew it was for me because on the outside it said, "To HRH Olivia Grace." HRH means Her Royal Highness. "Ooh, Olivia," Marguerite teased. "A love letter." Obviously, she was joking. No one would leave a love letter on my desk, except maybe as a prank. And as it turns out, I was right. When I opened up the note, I saw that inside was a drawing of a girl. But not just any girl. Me. I could tell because she had glasses and big curly hair pulled back by a headband. Only the headband had been made into a tiara, which I do not wear to school. Plus, the girl in the drawing was wearing an RGA school uniform with shorts, just like mine. But unlike me, the girl in the drawing had a really, really big butt. That was my first clue that the artist, I am using quotes around the word artist because I don't think the person who drew it is really an artist, was Prince Gunther, or at least someone pretending to be Prince Gunther, who is known for giving the people in his drawings, like Madame Hélène, large butts. Except that coming out of the mouth of the girl in the drawing on my desk was a text bubble that said, "Hi, I'm the Princess of Genovia. My sister is getting married, and I think I'm so great. But I can't dance, and I look stupid, and I smell. Ha ha ha, ki-yow, LOL." Only personally, I didn't think there was anything to laugh out loud about at all. In fact, when I saw the drawing, I got so mad I could feel my face turning red, although I tried not to let how angry I was show in front of everyone else. But it didn't work, since Marguerite asked, "What's wrong? What does it say, Olivia?" "Nothing," I said, and quickly shoved the note in my backpack. Only I wasn't quick enough, because Marguerite snatched the note out of my hand. Then, the next thing I knew, she was looking at it and saying, "Oh, wow, this is really rude. What does ki-yow mean?" "Nothing," I yelled. "Never mind. Give it back." "Oh, I think it means something," Louisa said with a laugh. She would know. I tried to snatch the note back, but of course Marguerite wouldn't give it up because Victorine and the other girls were crying, "Let me see, let me see." And then, the worst thing ever happened. And that is that Prince Khalil came over and snatched the drawing out of Marguerite's hand and held it high over all our heads, which he could do easily because he's so tall. "No!" Louisa yelled. "Don't look at it, Your Highness!" Saying that had the opposite result Louisa was hoping for, though, because once you tell someone not to do something, it automatically makes them want to do it more, like telling Rocky not to throw things down the stairs from the fourth floor. He simply can't help it, and neither could Prince Khalil. As soon as his gaze fell on the page, he frowned.
"Ki-yow?" he said. "That's not a word."
Then he turned the note around for everyone to see.
"Who drew this?"
he asked.
"It isn't very nice. Gunther, this looks like one of your drawings. Did you do it?"
When everyone else saw it, they started to laugh. Not in a mean way, exactly. I don't think they were laughing at me. They were laughing at the drawing and how dumb it was. I don't think anyone here really thinks I smell or have a humongous butt. Except my cousin Louisa. Probably. But I'm starting to think the same of her. Gunther yelled,
"No, this I did not do.
I draw much better than this.
Which is exactly a kind of funny thing to say, if you think about it.
Oh, Gunther,
Luisa said, shaking her head. Obviously you did it. Look, it's your drawing style, exactly. Why must you be so immature and so hurtful to Olivia, Genovia's newest princess?
I was so mad when she said this. I wanted to scream. It got even worse when Prince Khalil shook his head and said, "Not cool, Gunther. Not cool."
Gunther's eyes actually filled with tears. I didn't even know Gunther had feelings. I'd been so busy being grossed out by him. But I guess it would hurt my feelings, too, if the tallest, cutest boy in the 6th grade told me I wasn't cool.
No, Gunther wailed. This I did not do. I know I draw Madame Alain with a big butt, but not this. This I did not draw.
You did it, Gunther, Luisa said, and we all know it. So you might as well admit it. But I knew Gunther didn't do it, because Luisa's the only one who ever says kiao, except for me, but I only did it once, by mistake. I don't know why she'd do something so mean. Maybe because Queen Amina said she liked my drawings and didn't pay enough attention to her boring story about her reception gown with a detachable skirt. Or maybe because her pretend boyfriend doesn't really like her. Oh yes, I said it. I said Khalil is Luisa's pretend boyfriend, because I haven't seen any proof yet that Prince Khalil even likes her. But whatever. I know Luisa did it. And what Luisa was doing, accusing Gunther of drawing that picture when I knew he didn't, wasn't fair. Luisa, I started to say, why don't you just... But right then, Monsieur Montclair came into the classroom, a mug of steaming coffee in his hands.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is all this shouting? I could hear you down the hallway. You are hardly deporting yourself like young royals.
Look what Prince Gunther did, monsieur, Luisa cried, showing him the drawing.
No, Gunther said desperately. I did not do it.
Monsieur Montclair took one look at the picture and said with a tired sigh,
Prince Gunther, please go pay a visit to Madame Alain in her office. The rest of you... get in your dance positions. Mademoiselle Justine is on her way.
I saw Prince Gunther's face crumple. No, he said.
This is third strike for me. Madame Alain said if I get one more strike, I have to go back to Starkerdorfel. Then my parents will put me in the Royal Academy in Switzerland.
Everyone gasped in horror at the idea of an RGA student having to attend horrible TRAIS. Meanwhile, Gunther picked up his backpack and walked glumly toward the door, his head hanging.
Well, auf Wiedersehen, everyone, he said.
I felt so bad for him. He isn't my favorite person or anything. He isn't even in my top 50 favorite people. I don't hate him, or think it's fair for him to get in trouble for something he didn't do.
Luisa, I whispered, poking her. I know it was you who made that drawing. Why would you do that?
To help you, of course, she said, looking wide-eyed with innocence. Now you don't have to worry about the flexor. You don't even have to learn the steps to the dance, because you don't have to be in it. Since you don't have a partner anymore, see? She smiled. I'm a true royal, just like your sister, who everyone says is going to save Genovia from economic ruin. Prego, Olivia. Prego means you're welcome in Italian.
Ugh!
Luisa, when I need your help, I'll ask for it, okay? I raised my hand.
Monsieur Montclair, may I be excused?
He sipped his coffee, looking very bored.
Yes, Princess Olivia, you may be excused. But next time, remember to use the restroom before class begins, okay?
More ugh. Why did he have to bring up the restroom in front of everyone? Like Prince Khalil. Hadn't I been humiliated enough in one morning? Anyway, I'm in Madame Hélène's office now. Or really, the waiting room to her office, where her assistant is playing a video game on his computer, but pretending like he's working. Prince Gunther was totally surprised to see me, which I can understand, seeing as how everyone else thinks he drew a mean picture of me.
"Princess Olivia," he said, "what are you doing here?"
"I know it wasn't you who drew that picture, Gunther," I said.
But how?"
he asked. I didn't want to say, because only my cousin Louisa says kiao, because that would be tattling on Louisa. Instead, I said, "I just do. When Madame Hélène gets here, I'll tell her so." Prince Gunther looked even more surprised.
You will? Why would you do this for me?"
I couldn't believe he didn't know. "Because, Gunther, this is royalty school. We're supposed to do the right thing. I mean, even if we weren't royal, we're still supposed to tell the truth. And the truth is, you didn't do it." Gunther looked down at his lap. I thought I saw disappointment on his face.
"Oh,"
he said.
I thought maybe you liked me or something."
"Ew, the flexor thinks I like him." "This is the reward you get for trying to be nice. A green-haired, booger-flinging prince will think that you like him." Then it got even worse, because after I got over trying not to die, I said, well, it's not that exactly, Gunther. It's just that..."
"Because..."
Prince Gunther looked up to say,
"I really like you. You're not like the other girls in this school."
I did not like the way this conversation was going. "Well, Gunther, that's very nice, but..."
"Yes, you're like me."
He showed me his shower sandals and knee socks.
"You aren't afraid to be different. You wear shorts and glasses. You don't care what people say. I think that's cool."
"Ugh, the flexor thinks I like him, and even worse... the flexor likes me back because he thinks I like to take fashion risks, which I do, but mostly because I like to dress for comfort unless I'm attending an important state function. No, 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 no! I'm trying to remember what Grandmère and my sister told me to say in these kinds of situations. Surely there has to be some sort of rule that royals follow when someone says they like them, but they don't like that person back. What's the right thing to say in return? Thanks, but no thanks? That seems rude. Thanks, but I just want to be friends? That seems better. The sad part is, Grandmère and I have never talked about what I should say if a green-haired, booger-flinging prince tells me that he likes me and thinks I like him back. Because this is not a situation I ever imagined would happen. Wednesday, June 17th, 11:25 a.m., Royal Genovian Academy. Phew, thank goodness that's over. Though now I'm actually worse off than before, really. Grandmère says when you're in a bad situation and you make a poor decision that only puts you in a worse situation, it's called jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Though whenever she says this, Dad always laughs and says, "Mother, when have you ever cooked?" Still, that's what I've just done with Prince Gunther, jumped from the frying pan into the fire. I was getting all ready to say the politest thing I could think of, which was, "Well, Gunther, I do like you, as a friend," when the door to Madame Hélène's office opened, and she finally came in from her meeting, except that I noticed she had a lot of shopping bags.
Genovia is known for its fine shopping, so I can understand. But I'm not sure it's right for the head of a school, even a school for modern young royals, to go shopping during school hours. So then I couldn't give my speech to Gunther, because instead, I had to tell Madame Hélène that there'd been a terrible mistake and that Prince Gunther was innocent.
I don't know,
Madame Hélène said, looking down at the drawing, which Monsieur Montclair had given to the administrative assistant to give to her as evidence of Gunther's crime.
It certainly looks like Prince Gunther's work.
Well, it's not, I said, horribly aware the whole time that Prince Gunther was staring at me with big lovey-dovey hearts in his eyes, probably planning our royal wedding.
Princess Olivia,
Madame Hélène said,
I know you're only trying to protect your new classmate because you want to fit in and don't care to make waves your first week, but I can assure you that this isn't the first time Prince Gunther has done something like this. He's been warned that if he did it again, he'd be expelled.
But I didn't do it, Gunther cried, turning his big moon eyes on Madame Hélène.
Prince Gunther,
Madame Hélène said, holding his drawing toward him.
Please, don't lie. It isn't becoming of your royal status. Your father would be very disappointed in you. Now, this is obviously your work.
It isn't his work, Madame Hélène, I said. I'm afraid I had to do something very unroyal. I took a deep breath and lied. It's mine. Madame Hélène stared at me in shock.
Yours? Are you saying you drew this of yourself, Princess Olivia?
Yes. I opened this journal and showed her some of my sketches. You see, I love to draw. I drew that picture of myself, Madame Hélène, for exactly the reason you said, to make the other girls in my class laugh, since I want to fit in. You know I haven't been a royal for as long as some of the other students, and I only wanted to make them like me.
I like you,
Prince Gunther said. Ugh, thanks for not helping, Gunther. I ignored him. Please, please don't tell my father, Madame Hélène, I said, or my sister. You can tell my grandmother, though. She won't mind.
Oh, Your Highness.
Madame Hélène looked even more shocked.
This is terrible. If you didn't feel that you were fitting in, you should have come to me. You know that I'm available to talk at any time, don't you?
Except when she's busy shopping. Thank you, Madame Hélène, I said. That's good to know. Can we go back to class now, please? We need to rehearse. I want to make sure that our wedding surprise for my sister and Prince Michael is perfect.
Of course.
Madame Hélène stood up and shook my hand.
And please, if there's anything I can do to make your time at the Royal Genovian Academy more pleasant, do not hesitate to let me know.
I said. Okay, Madame Hélène, I will. Phew. Boy, was I glad when I got out of there. But then I had to deal with Prince Gunther, who was looking at me like I was the dessert trolley they wheel around at lunch. This was not a very comfortable feeling.
Princess, I can't believe you did that for me,
he said as we walked back to class.
No one has ever done something so nice for me. People in this school, well, they don't seem to like me so much. I think they are jealous because of my guns, see?
He pushed up the short sleeve of his uniform shirt to show me his muscle. Again. This time, however, I put a hand out to stop him. Yeah, okay, Gunther. Look, I've seen your guns before. You show them to me all the time. He looked a little disappointed by my response, but he pushed his sleeve back down.
I'm going to the Olympics, he said, because I'm such a good swimmer.
I know, I said. You've said that too. Gunther, you have to stop telling people that. It sounds really braggy. He froze in the middle of the corridor,
which is open air and filled with flower-covered vines and little tweeting birds.
"But it's the truth,"
he cried.
"I am going to the Olympics."
"Even if it's the truth," I said, "it's better to let people find out about your talents on their own than for you to go around bragging about them. And another thing, when you flex your arm when we're promenading, you cut off the blood supply to my fingertips." He looked confused.
"But girls like big muscles. I train every day with the toughest coach in Genovia. He's from the Ukraine. He makes me lift twice my body weight."
"That's great, but maybe save the flexing for the gym with your coach," I said. "Because if I show up at my sister's wedding with my hand in a cast, no one's going to be happy about it. And then, when I tell them it was because of you, the Olympic Committee will find out about it, and you'll get in trouble." I had no idea if this was true, but it worked, since he said, looking a little shocked,
"I'm sorry. I guess I don't know my own strength."
"I guess not. I probably should have told you earlier."
"Yes,"
he said.
"You must tell me right away if I do anything that is wrong, now that you are my girlfriend."
"What?" "Gunther," I said, "I'm not your girlfriend. I'm just your friend, who is a girl."
"No,"
he said, reaching for my hand as we walked down the corridor toward the sixth grade classroom.
"You rescued me from being expelled. You like me. I know you do. So now we are more than friends."
"No," I said, pulling my hand away. "No, we are not. Just friends, Gunther. Just friends." He laughed like he thought I was making it up, or teasing him, or flirting or something, which I was not. Ugh. Goodbye, frying pan. Hello, fire. Wednesday, June 17th, 3:35 p.m., Royal Genovian Stables. I'm hiding in the stables right now with Chrissy and Snowball because this is the only place people aren't rushing around to set up things or cleaning for the wedding, and I need to think. I have to get this all down or I'm going to go crazy. I can't believe this. My life is a nightmare. And Nishi is coming tomorrow, expecting me to be living some kind of fairy tale princess life, and I'm so not. Well, I mean, I kind of am, compared to most people. My life is basically much, much better than it was. I don't want to seem ungrateful. But this princess thing is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. Although, I have to admit, the food really makes up for a lot of it. Oh, and the clothes. And having wonderful pets and living with people who actually care about me. But some of them care too much. Prince Gunther, for instance, who has now stopped flinging boogers and making fart noises with his mouth because he thinks if he acts more princely, I'll be his girlfriend. Even though I have assured him in the nicest way possible that this is most definitely not true, there is nothing he can do to make me want him as a boyfriend. Nothing. I only want to be friends. I think tomorrow, if he's still acting so lovey-dovey, I might have to ask my dad if I can be homeschooled or transfer to the Royal School of Switzerland. I don't want to hurt Gunther's feelings or anything. I already had to watch him cry once today. But I do not want Prince Gunther as a boyfriend, not because of his socks and shower sandals or green hair or anything like that. I just do not like him in that way. But, of course, as soon as we got back to class and started dancing again, Luisa noticed how he was treating me. Seriously, no one could miss it. He now handles me as if I were a dainty leaf that he might crush with the slightest touch, and leaned over to whisper while we were promenading, "Kiao, Olivia. I think someone has a crush." Since this whole thing was Luisa's fault anyway, I gave her a dirty look and whispered back, "Not helping, Luisa." "Why?" She pretended I'd hurt her feelings, which I know I hadn't, because Lady Louisa has no feelings. Now you can invite him to your sister's wedding reception. You want to have someone to dance with there too, don't you?
Ack! Still not helping, Louisa, I said, when I passed her again on the next promenade.
She only laughed and flounced away. At least I'm not the only one who notices. Louisa is so mean that even Princess Komiko, who hardly ever says anything, whispered to me at lunch today. Don't let Lady Louisa get you down, Princess. She's rude to everyone. But why? I asked, as we practiced using our fish forks. She's so pretty. Why does she have to be so mean?
She didn't used to be, Princess Komiko said. But then her parents got divorced.
I almost choked on my endive salad. Her parents got divorced?
Yes, Princess Komiko said, in the second grade. After that, she became very rude. Of course, my parents got divorced too, but I did not become rude to everyone. I guess it can affect different people in different ways. Would you please pass the salt?
I passed Princess Komiko the salt, thinking about what she'd said. Louisa's parents were divorced? That was terrible. I've never had divorced parents, so I don't know what it feels like. I have a dead mother, but she died when I was a baby, and I'd got a chance to know her. It's certainly true that things affect different people in different ways. But no one should take their problems out on other people. See, this is why I'd never been as big a fan of fairy tales as Nishi, especially ones with princesses in them. She completely believes that when it says, "and they lived happily ever after" at the end, that's it, that's the end, and everyone really does live happily ever after. But that's not true. Life keeps on happening after the end. Good stuff and bad stuff. You could be a princess like Komiko and have your parents get divorced. Or you could be a princess like me and escape one mean girl, like Annabelle at my old school, only to find another one, my cousin Louisa, at your new school. Who, besides Nishi, even believes in fairy tales anyway? Some of those stories are all right, I guess, like Little Red Riding Hood. It's never a good idea to talk to strangers, especially wolves. But some of those other stories don't even make any sense. It's not physically possible to sleep for 100 years. You would die of starvation. And princes can't really kiss anyone awake, unless what they're really doing is performing CPR. Whenever I bring this up, though, Nishi says I'm missing the point, and that all of these things are happening due to magic, and that I'm just not ready yet to see the magic in real life. But I have seen magic in real life. I went from living in the suburbs of New Jersey to a castle in Genovia, didn't I? So what's Nishi going to say when she gets here and she finds out I'm messing everything up and maybe, possibly, ruining everyone's happily ever after? And, okay, maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration. Nobody has bitten any poisoned apples and died or anything. But I don't feel as if my plan of helping Mia with her problems as a wedding gift is really working out, in part due to my cousin Louisa, who has problems of her own. Instead, I'm only creating more problems, especially since this afternoon when I got home from school, the majordomo told me that Snowball had stolen 2 sausages and a wheel of brie from the kitchen today. A group of tourists found part of the brie later in the Hall of Portraits. It was behind the bust of my great-great-grandfather. The tourists took photos of it, and now dog cheese is one of the top trending topics online. I wish I could just live here in the stables with Chrissy and Snowball. Everything is so calm and nice and smells like hay, which is quite a good smell when you get used to it. But as I explained to Rocky when he wanted to fly to the moon, you can't run away from your problems. You have to face them,
or they'll never get solved. So I have to go back to school tomorrow and face everyone, including Luisa and Prince Gunther. Oh, there's Grandmère out there with the electricians, telling them where to string the party lights for the reception. I guess I should go help.
Wednesday, June 17th, 7:35 p.m., Royal Genovian Bedroom. 5 exclamation points! Wow! 13 smiley faces! Okay, maybe things are looking up. Just a little. I was outside helping the electrician swap out the white party globes for purple ones, which has to be done in secret. Grandmère says it will be a great surprise for Mia to see everyone and everything bathed in soft purple light. When I was the one who got a surprise, Prince Khalil showed up in the Royal Genovian Gardens. "What are you doing here?" I asked from on top of my ladder.
"What are you doing here?"
he asked from below it. "I live here," I said.
"Right," he said with a laugh. "Sorry, I knew that. What I meant was, what are you doing way up there?"
"Oh," I said, "helping to hang party lights for my sister's wedding reception. It's in 2 days, and basically nothing is ready, so I'm pitching in to help." I could have given him a longer explanation, like how earlier Grandmère had told me another rule for royals. Better to do it yourself than trust other people to do it, so you know it's done right. But I suddenly remembered that I was wearing my uniform shorts, and I wasn't sure whether or not he could see up them, so I started climbing down. I was surprised when he reached over to hold the bottom rungs of the ladder to steady it, but I shouldn't have been. This kind of courteousness is why Luisa has such a crush on him. "Thanks," I said, as I jumped the last few feet to the garden path. My pink high tops made a satisfying crunching sound on the gravel.
"No problem," he said. "Hey, I'm glad we ran into each other. About what happened in school today."
Oh no, this was the last thing I wanted to talk about, especially with him. "Uh-oh," I said. "Did you hear that? I think my grandmother is calling me. It's probably time for high tea. Sorry, I have to go."
"Wait."
Prince Khalil reached out to grab my arm.
"I just wanted to say that I think it was cool how you said you drew that picture so that Prince Gunther wouldn't get kicked out of school."
I froze. "You did? I mean, you do?"
"Yeah."
He let go of my arm.
"Not many girls would have done that."
I was shocked, and not only because Prince Khalil had just grabbed my arm and said I was cool, but because he'd actually noticed something I'd done. Not that I cared. I said. Suddenly, it seemed like all the birds in the garden were tweeting more loudly than usual, and the sun shining a little more brightly, which makes no sense, because I do not even like Prince Khalil. Well, Prince Gunther didn't draw that picture, so I was only doing the right thing.
"Yeah,"
Prince Khalil said.
"But you didn't draw it."
This conversation was making me very uncomfortable, because the last thing I wanted to be discussing with Prince Khalil was who really drew the picture, which, of course, was Luisa Ferrari, who secretly wanted to be his girlfriend. "Well," I said, "maybe not. But it still wouldn't have been fair if Prince Gunther got kicked out of school for something he didn't do."
"No,"
Prince Khalil said.
"But if he didn't draw it, and you didn't draw it, who did?"
I thought it better to distract him. "What's that?" I pointed at the wire cage Prince Khalil had put down while holding the ladder for me, then lifted again.
"Oh, this?"
It worked. My trick worked. He held up the cage so I could take a better look at it.
"It's a live trap. I'm a volunteer with the Genovian Herpetology Rescue Society. We're here today to trap and relocate your iguanas."
It was a good thing I'd climbed down from the ladder, or I would have fallen off it. You are?
Yeah,
Khalil said, his dark eyes lighting up the way they had in the school dining room.
I told my friends at the society what you said about all the problems you were having here at the palace with iguana overcrowding, and they got in touch with the gardening and security staff, and they said we could come in and set up these traps. We're going to relocate as many of your iguanas as we can to the Genovian golf course. They'll be much happier there and won't bother anyone.
Wow, I said. That's, really nice of you.
Oh, it's nothing.
He shrugged modestly.
The society is happy to help. Conserving reptiles and amphibians and educating the public about how critical they are to the environment is what we do. Did you know that without many species of reptiles, some plants wouldn't get pollinated and certain pests would overrun the ecosystem?
I said, no, I didn't.
Well, it's true. Where can I put this?
Over here, I said, and led him to the orange tree beneath my bedroom window. I couldn't see Carlos anywhere, but I knew he was around. Sometimes he hides. You're going to need a lot of those, though.
I know,
he said.
That's why we came today. We'll set as many traps as we can now, and then keep coming back. By the wedding, we should have gotten most of them.
The birds in the trees seemed to tweet even more loudly. This is going to be the best wedding present for my sister, I said. I've been wondering what I was going to get her, since I don't have any money. He smiled.
I never heard of anyone giving someone iguana removal for their wedding before, but I guess it would make a pretty good gift, and not just because it's free. I'd love to be an iguana removal specialist when I grow up, because it makes people so happy, and it's great for the iguanas.
Then the grin turned into a frown.
Only I can't, of course.
I felt a pang for him, since he looked so sad. Why not? Don't they have iguanas in your native land? He looked at me like I was crazy.
No, because I have to be a prince.
Oh, right, I said, embarrassed. Of course. I can't believe I forgot. I'd also forgotten that his native land was in the middle of a war, and this was why he was a boarding student at the RGA, and his parents lived in France. Probably it had been insensitive of me to have brought it up. I decided to change the subject. You know, I want to be a wildlife illustrator. I think it's possible to be both, royal and something else. Most people do more than one thing.
You know what?
He said, after crawling from the live trap, which he'd finished setting up.
I never thought about it before. But you're right. Like Prince Gunther, he's royal, but he's also a swimmer.
I didn't like how our conversations always seemed to go back to Prince Gunther, especially since I don't even like Prince Gunther. At least, not the way Prince Gunther likes me. But since making a big deal about it would only make it seem like I do, I said, yes, just like Prince Gunther.
Well,
Prince Khalil said, looking at the trap,
that's something to think about. Anyway, one down, about 100 more to go.
I felt so grateful and happy that he'd come along out of nowhere and been so nice. I wanted to do something nice for him, only I couldn't think what. Warning him about Luisa's plan to make him her boyfriend at the wedding reception ball and dance with him in the moonlight and force him to give up his love of herpetology didn't seem appropriate. Maybe he wants to be Luisa's boyfriend. I don't know. So instead, I just said, well, I'll let you get to work then. Thanks a lot. If you or any of your friends from the Herpetology Society want to come inside for an orange juice or something, find me and let me know.
Okay.
He smiled. How come I never noticed before what a nice smile he has?
Thanks. See you later.
See you later. Somehow, as I was backing away from the orange tree, I managed not to trip over any roots or anything. I don't know how. Reading this over, I know it seems as if I like Prince Khalil, but I swear I don't. He's very nice and everything, but I have enough problems without crushing on a prince, especially a prince who happens to be my cousin Louisa's crush. But let's just say if I were going to have a crush on a prince, it would probably be on Prince Khalil. He has very good manners and nice eyes, and he's kind to iguanas. But I don't. At all.